Welcome to the LaPorte County Public Library's podcast, Do We, Don't We?
The podcast that shows you what our library has beyond the books.
On each episode, staff at the LaPorte County Public Library will introduce you to services at the library that might surprise you.
Come along and find out, do we, don't we?
Hi guys, today we've got a very special episode of Do We, Don't We? We've got Jessica Jenkins joining us from Minnetrista. I'm Greg Coulter. I'm a community engagement librarian here at the LaPorte County Public Library. Hello, welcome Jessica. How's it going?
It's going well, Greg. Thanks for having me.
Today we're going to talk a bit about your book, Exploring Women's Suffrage Through 50 Historic Treasures. But first, how about you tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do at Minnetrista?
Yeah, I am the Director of Collections at Minnetrista. So for those of you who might not be as familiar with us, we are a museum and gardens in Muncie, Indiana. And we are on the site of the former homes of the Ball family, so the makers of the Ball jar. So as we like to say, we are the home of the Ball jar. So as part of that, what I do is I work with our museum collection. So I oversee the management of the museum collection. I work with our curatorial team to really do storytelling from that collection. So that's kind of the nutshell version of what I do.
So suffrage.
This is the year of the 100th anniversary of the ratification of the 19th Amendment, which extended the opportunity to vote to women here in the United States. Suffrage, what it was and why there was a movement. Suffrage is the right to vote. And the suffrage movement, as we refer to it, is the push for women here in the United States to gain that right to vote. They saw early on, from the time that our nation was founded, that was a citizenship right that seemed to be withheld from them. And actually, there were a couple of places that experimented with giving women the right to vote earlier on. You'll see a chapter in the book about New Jersey, where women in New Jersey were voting in the 18th century. And then they actually took the right away.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But so the suffrage movement exists because women were seeing an inequality almost straight out of the gate, just with how our country and our founders were defining citizenship rights. And, you know, well, you need to be a property owner, but women aren't allowed to own property, so you can't have a voting right. And it got really sticky for a lot of women, especially as female education advanced. And so women are really growing their understanding of government, of their analytical thinking skills, of philosophy. And they start to say, hold on a second, but I'm a citizen. So for instance, I, as a citizen, one of my rights is to have a jury of peers. I can't serve as a juror because to serve as a juror, I have to be able to vote. And therefore, I would never have a jury of my peers if I had to go to court for something, because women wouldn't sit on that jury and be on that jury serving as my peers. So it's that kind of thing that plays into it. And then it ravels into this activist movement of that push for, we want that citizenship right. And that's really what it is.
You've selected 50 historic treasures. I've got two questions. So one of them might be more along the lines of, what are some of your favorites? Uh-huh. But then another one is just, how did you frame the beginning of suffrage? And then how did you frame the end of suffrage?
Yeah, that's a great question. Because I think actually thinking about the frame is so interesting. Because it's really a story arc. You know, when I started writing this book, something that I did is, I was like, dang, how am I going to get down to 50 objects? Because there's like a quadrillion awesome objects in the world. So what I did in that framing question is I thought about various themes that could get at this and what that story arc would look like. And what I did is I actually came up with a framework, and that's how I refer to it, of 9 thematic sections to work within. Milestones and legacy. So you'll see those bookmarks of early years and legacy, which really is that here's the front end of what was going on and here's what's happening now. And often historians talk about, you know, when did the suffrage movement start? And you hear people say 1848, Seneca Falls Convention. But the reality is the suffrage movement had roots much further back than that in this country, back into the 18th century. So I actually wanted to set my framework and thinking about it much earlier than Seneca Falls to show how that happened. And also much later, up until today, in this legacy piece, because the work of suffragists and the work that they were doing to really secure the right to vote, you can still see that playing out in our country now. And in the decades following 1920, you still had many groups of people, people of color especially, working to still gain the right to vote, or more importantly, secure that opportunity to be able to get to the polls. So you see things like the Voting Rights Act of 1965 still come up. You see the Equal Rights Amendment, where women are saying, okay, well, we got this one piece of the pie, but we're still working on the rest of the slices that are coming up. So that's kind of how I framed it. I wanted to take the broad look at it and really get a fuller, you know, timeline on that, of what that story really looks like.
Out of those 50 historic treasures, I'm just keep using your title, the first one that comes to mind, if you only got to pick one historic treasure to speak about suffrage.
For me, one of the really outstanding pieces that you'll find in here is actually a church pew from a church in Chicago, Illinois. And it is part of the Smithsonian's collection, but it is at the National American History Museum for African American History and Culture. And there has been so much written about suffrage, but what really you're starting to see historians do more of now, and it's so heartening to see, and there's encouragement for this, is to actually dig into the stories we haven't told yet. And often suffrage is told from a white female perspective, and we haven't really done as much digging into the women of color who were so vitally important to this movement. And so that church pew is one piece that is just, it just is so impactful to me, because what it is it's a piece from a church where there was a nucleus of Black women working in Chicago agitating for the right to vote. And it allows you to really dig into the work of Ida B. Wells, who was a big mover in suffrage, just generally in activism. She was a journalist. She was doing all this stuff. And her work for suffrage and founding the Alpha Suffrage Club in Chicago really for her was about uplifting the entire Black community, which was something that tied into her larger activist work. So that is a piece that I just find so meaningful. And I love it because it's not a sash that says Votes for Women. So it's not the piece that pops out that you automatically go, oh, it's a suffrage object. But for me, at least in my curatorial work, the thing that I love is the object that doesn't scream what it is. And then you get to find out the meat behind it. And oh, I didn't even think about how this church pew could tell me that story. I knew it could tell me the story of the church. I knew it could tell me the story of the people that sat in it, but I hadn't gone far enough to say, and what are those other stories that are connected to that space? And so that's one for me that just always really sticks out as being one that's just so powerful and was such a joy to do some more research on and kind of dig at that and find out a little bit more. And you did tell me I could have two, so I'm going to throw another one in the mix.
Please do, please do.
Just because I like quirky and fun, and I'm trying to remember which section it is in. I believe it's in Consumer Culture and Publicity. There is this cookbook that's out in Washington State, I believe at the Washington Historical Society or State Museum, whatever their official title is. But this is such a cool piece. And it's just like, oh, it's a cookbook. But it's a suffrage cookbook. And often we talk about the things that suffragists kind of left behind. So those little lapel buttons, the sashes, the pennants, all the things that say Votes for Women. These cookbooks are actually pretty thick on the ground. And suffragists used cookbooks a lot as a fundraiser to raise the funds that were needed to keep their activities moving. And this one particularly was put out by a suffrage group out in Washington, but its impact traveled across the entire nation. And you could see it being sold and documented being sold in stores in New York City. So it made it all the way from the West Coast to the East Coast of the impact that it had. So it's one that is just such a fun story that I really enjoy, because you can flip through it and, you know, there's weirdo recipes in there that, you know, some are legitimate recipes that are submitted by women who said, I really enjoy this dish. And other ones are like tongue-in-cheek kind of joke factors of, here's a recipe for, you know, an anti-suffragist. And so it's just a little joke piece. It's not actually a real recipe. It's really fun and quirky. And I love those kinds of pieces.
Well, Jessica, it's been great having you on today. Thank you for sharing your book with us and for highlighting some of those really cool perspectives. I really appreciate you highlighting the role of marginalized women in the suffrage movement, because I know that's...
Yeah, it's absolutely been a pleasure. Thank you for having me. It's been really, really fun. And obviously, I would encourage your listeners to check out the book, but more importantly, in this year of this commemoration, they're going to find tons of articles out there online, other people's books. There's been some really great documentaries that have come out. And I would just encourage everyone to, you know, learn something new about suffrage this year. It's a great year to do it, so why not?
In the month of October, the LaPorte County Public Library is going to have two things that people can do that they can attend in order to participate in that commemoration. The first is a presentation, I believe it's on Zoom, about Indiana Women's Suffrage Centennial, Fashioning Suffrage, and that's about the connections between fashion, politics, and modernity. How did suffragists shape political style, and how did their political legacy inspire and affect more recent struggles for gender equality? So that one sounds really cool. We also will be hosting a traveling exhibit called Securing the Vote, Women's Suffrage in Indiana. This exhibit is scheduled to be on display here at the LaPorte County Public Library, the main location in LaPorte, from October 2nd until November 3rd. So the entire month of October, and you can visit it anytime that library location is open.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yes, thanks, Greg.